Now, I don't know how many of you, and I'm going to date myself right now, but it's just one of those things, right? How many of you remember the Roadrunner cartoons? So there's the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. And they're kind of all the same, right? It's Wile E. Coyote seeing the Roadrunner and deciding, this is my mission in life. I'm going to catch the Roadrunner. Comes up to the Roadrunner. Roadrunner looks at him, says, meek, meek, and is off in a cloud of dust. And, of course, Wile E. Coyote follows the Roadrunner. Next thing in the clip, you usually see Roadrunner hits the brakes. Wile E. Coyote comes through this cloud of dust. And the next thing, his eyes just go wild and wide as he looks back at the Roadrunner. And then looks down and realizes he's over the edge of the cliff, and right beneath him is the canyon. And then it's, of course, whoop, and plum, and you just see a little cloud of dust from the bottom of the canyon. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes I think Wile E. Coyote and I have a few things in common. I've often found myself on the edge of the cliff, too. I've often gone over the edge of the cliff. Found myself battered and bruised at the bottom of the canyon. But there's a huge difference between me and Wile E. Coyote as well. Because here's the thing. Wile E. Coyote is invincible. He falls down that cliff into that canyon time after time. And boy, when he hits the bottom, he dusts himself off. And the next thing you know it, he's out of the canyon and he's right behind the bird again. And there they go. But you and I, when we fall into the canyon, it hurts. And we often wander around in the canyon wondering, will I ever make it out of this canyon again? Now, if there's one man that knows exactly what I'm talking about, it's a man called Peter. And I want to take you to a specific part of his story in the Bible. And we're gonna catch up to him in John chapter 18, in the courtyard of Caiaphas, where Jesus has been taken prisoner. So we read. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. That's at the fire. So they asked him, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? He denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. Didn't I see you with him in the garden? Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. He's right there in the canyon, isn't he? He knows all about that, and here's a little bit of the irony about this moment. Let me roll back the story for you a little bit. Just a few hours before, Peter, with the other disciples, was in the garden with Jesus. And all of a sudden, there's this cloud of dust, if I can continue the image of the Roadrunner, when the soldiers and the crowd come in to arrest Jesus. And in that moment, Peter is just the man, and he's got out his sword, and he's ready to take it all. Jesus, just stand back. I'm going to take care of this poor old Malchus is too close and loses his ear. Good thing Jesus could fix that. Jesus has to stop, and when the dust settles, Jesus is taken prisoner. And Peter has to make a decision. Decision he needs to make is this. Is he going to stay close to Jesus? Or is he just quietly going to slip away in the dark? Now, if we read Luke's account of this, we see that Peter followed Jesus. But he followed at a distance just so he could see Jesus. Close enough to see, but not close enough to be seen with Jesus. Or as some writer puts it, says, the disciples decided to take the left side of the road and they got out of Dodge and they were out of there. Jesus took the right side and he obeyed what God had planned for him. And Peter got on the yellow line and he was straddling the middle of the road. Not a good place to be. Very dangerous. We'll see that in a moment. Because as we roll the tape forward, we find Peter standing there in the courtyard, standing at the fire. Matthew tells us, a young girl comes and she looks at him and says, but I'm sure I saw you with him. You're one of his disciples. And typical middle of the road answer. Peter says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know him. And slowly he inches closer to the edge of the cliff. Servant comes around and stops and says, but I'm sure I saw you with him. And again, middle of the road answer, straddling that yellow line. No, I don't belong. I don't know who you're talking about. And slowly the cliff starts crumbling. And then the servant who was a family member of Malchus says to him, but I did see you there. I was in the garden when you cut off Malchus's ear. I saw you there. You were there. And Peter vehemently denies that. Middle of the road answer. And then that rooster crows. And suddenly the cliff gives way. Peter goes down that canyon and he hits rock bottom. Have you been there? Right over the edge, falling, free falling, and you hit rock bottom. Hurt, broken, looking at yourself, not feeling good about that. Question is, so what do we do? What do we do when we've like Wile E. Coyote flown over that canyon and now we're going down and we're right there at the bottom of the canyon? Usually three things, but there's a fourth thing that I will add in a second. The first thing that we can do and that so many people do is they just give up and they say, this is it, I've messed up. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And they just get stuck in the canyon and they die in the canyon. Some will deny. Oh, it wasn't so bad. It was just a little mistake. Oh, we'll be fine again. Or sometimes we just dismiss. Oh, don't tell me my arm is broken. It's not. Oh, my leg isn't broken. It's not the canyon. It was just a little. Problem is you're still stuck in the canyon. The only way to get out of the canyon, you got to deal with it. You got to face what happened, why you went over the cliff, and why right now you're in the canyon, and you can't get yourself out of the canyon. So let me take you back to Peter, because he tried to dismiss, he tried to deny, he tried the hiding. It didn't work. As he stood there and denied, and that rooster crowed, in that moment when that cliff gave way, Jesus looked at Peter and he saw him falling. And Peter knew, I can't deny it. I can't hide it. I can't dismiss it. The only thing that I can do with this is to face it and to confess what I have done. Now, can I just say something about the word confess? Confess doesn't mean we're telling God about something that we did. God already knows that. Confessing means that I agree with God that what I did was wrong and I made a mess. In those moments of tears, that's the moment where the confession comes. But it will happen a little while later. Let me run this tape for you a little further when we get to John chapter 21. And we find Peter sitting at a fire again. I want you to notice the two fires. We'll get back to that. Sitting at the fire and Jesus is there. And Jesus talks to Peter. He says, Peter, down there in the canyon, how are you doing? Do you love me? Peter tries the deny, dismiss moment. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Still in the canyon, right? Second time, Peter, just talk to me. Peter, do you love me? And he goes again. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Still not confessing. And then Jesus does the third thing. Peter, you're in the canyon. You can't get yourself out there with denying, with dismissing, with lying. Peter, I love you. You know that. Do you love me enough, Peter, that you're able to speak to me? And in this moment, Peter says, Lord, you know everything. There's the confession. I don't have to tell you. You know I went over. You saw me fall. You saw me down here. You see me bleeding. Lord, you know everything. But you also know I can't help myself. It's only you. See, my friends, freedom. Freedom comes in the moment when I can confess before God. I'm over the edge. I'm down in the canyon. And I'm hurting. And I'm bleeding. And I can't do anything about it on my own. Because here's the thing. How can God heal what I deny? How can God touch what I'm covering up? How can God pardon if I am not prepared to admit my guilt? And I know, that's a big word. That's a word that we do not like, the word guilt, because it reminds us of where we were and where we're going. It reminds us of what we said to God and how we did the opposite. Like Peter. Mark chapter 14. Lord, you're saying we're all going to leave you. I will never leave you. I'll be in front there. They'll all run away. I will never do this stuff. A few hours later, I don't know this man. I really don't know who he is. How can you? But just imagine. Imagine if that's where Peter stayed. And he wasn't prepared in that moment to admit and say, Lord, you know it all. And Lord, I can't do this. I messed it up. I'm in the canyon and I need out. Imagine all the sermons that would never have been preached. Imagine all the lives that would have stayed untouched by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine the loss on the day of Pentecost. Here's the thing. How many untold stories are walking at the bottom of the canyon because we don't confess? How many lives are neutralized and paralyzed because of our fear? How many Peters are walking the depths of the canyon too afraid to come out? So if we ask Peter, how do you get out? Peter will say, it goes from fire to fire. The first fire we met him was the fire of denial. But Peter had to move from that fire of denial to the fire of confession. But to get from the fire of denial to the fire of confession, two things had to happen. The tears and the cross of Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. Without the cross, the tears are nothing but tears of despair. Without the tears at the cross is nothing but a little bit of a moment of arrogance looking at the cross. The tears and the cross are both necessary for redemption. So folks, it's time to get out of the canyon. Amen. Pray with me. Thank you for the word that is so alive, Lord. That is just so us. Because we can see ourselves and find ourselves in Scripture all the time. But then we see you in full 4K HD color. As you work with love and with care and with compassion. And yes, Lord, you didn't let Peter just fall and leave him there bleeding, saying, well, that's what you get for denying. You went and you sought him. You lit that second fire so he could get to a fire of confession. And you changed not just his life, but the lives of so many. Thank you that we too have those moments where we can come before you. When we come with our tears at your cross. Desperate, but also knowing that you are not going to turn us away. When we come with our tears to your cross, knowing that without you, we are lost in the canyon forever. Thank you for your seeking grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.